like to invite you this morning over to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church, and Lord, asking you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be glorified and that we might be empowered by your grace to be the witnesses of your mercy and your salvation that you've given to us. Bless your word this morning. Bless each one that's here. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "To Be Spiritually Minded is Life and Peace." To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I do want to ask you a question, and you don't have to give an answer, but it's an important question, and that is simply, why are you here this morning? That's important. Why are you here? A lot of people have different answers to that. But at least now you thought to yourself, why you're here? Why am I here? Well, biblically, I would like for people to say, well, I'm here to worship the Lord. I'm here not only just to worship the Lord, but to hear from God. And that God might guide my heart and mind and empower my life to be the servant that he saved me to be. I mean, if I have eternal life, I want to experience the life that God has given to me. Now, so I'll ask you this morning, if you've not thought about that, maybe right now, right where you sit, you would say, God, I do want to hear from you. Lord, I do want to experience your great grace that you've given to me, that I might be empowered to be a witness of your great salvation. That's what the Lord wants to do for each and every one of us. And it's all done by his righteousness. It's all done by his power. Now, we've heard that before, but to really understand that is quite the process, and we're going to see that here this morning. So keeping that thought in mind, we're going to look at a couple of chapters. I don't know how far we're going to get, but it's important because God, do you believe this? God is a God of order. Do you believe that? He doesn't just wing it. You ever heard people, I'm just going to wing it. That's dangerous. Sometimes people trying to be funny, well, I'm just making this up as I go. Well, I don't want to follow you. Amen? I don't want to follow you if you're just making it up because you don't know what's around the corner. But our God does. Amen? Our God knows what's going on. So where's your confidence? Where should our confidence be? Should it be in the media? Should it be in the news? No. Should it be in what the world is doing? No. Can it be in the unchanging God of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's where you're going to have confidence. That's where you're going to have peace. Even, listen, when your world gets flipped upside down, there are biblical examples of that. Do you know Paul wrote letters to churches during his lifetime that are in the canon of Scripture that we have record of while he was in prison? We call those the prison epistles. And you would never know that he was in prison. He was encouraging the church to function by the power of God to experience God. Do you know that that's what God wants to do for you and I? Listen, this morning, I want to encourage you to experience the Lord. I am not trying to rebuke anybody. Uh-oh, Brother George, you just said that word. Rebuke. Does that mean you're going to rebuke us? Not at all. Not at all. Let me tell you what I would like. I would like for the Lord to guide our hearts and minds. What is God's rebuke like? Let me help you understand what God's rebuke is like. You remember before you got saved and God convinced and convicted you of your sin and your need for eternal life? That's God's rebuke. God's rebuke says, hey, listen, you are lost and undone. And in your own righteousness, because whatever your righteousness is, it is tainted by sin, right? So that's, let me give you a biblical example. So for example, let's say you had a wound on you, right? You had a wound and my arm was covered with leprosy. And you didn't have a bandage, but I had my arm all wound up
and bandages. And I said, oh, here, let me take off my bandage that's oozing here and let me give it to you. Would you want to put that on? You'd say, that's disgusting, Brother George. And it would be disgusting. But God is wanting you and I to... Listen, I mean well, don't I? I mean, I'm trying to do you a favor. Listen, am I trying to help somebody who's got a wound on their arm with my bandage? I am. But you would have none of it, would you? Because it is stained and tainted with my own wound. So that's why God says, you cannot give me your righteousness because it's oozing with your sin. It cannot work that way. You simply only have, the only hope you and I have is the righteousness of God alone. We cannot touch it. Because the moment we do, you might as well just take off that oozing. Let me show you what I'm doing for you, God. You might as well just take off that oozing bandage off your leprous arm and try to offer it to somebody. Nobody wants it, especially a holy and righteous God. Many people today live this way. Well, I know what I believe in my heart. I know what I feel in my heart. I know how I feel. Well, I know what I think. Well, if it's in contrast to the Word of God, it's all wrong. I'm just sorry because, listen, your opinion and my opinion, that's not going to be what's going to judge us. Your opinion and my opinion is not going to bring us to the throne of God. Let me say that again. Your opinion and my opinion is not going to help us in our relationship with the Lord as a saved child of God. So this morning, what are you looking for? And what is it that God's trying to do? Well, again, I want to remind you, remember when you saw yourself lost and undone and you called upon the Lord to save you, aren't you glad God convicted you and rebuked you of your need for Him? Because then when you trusted Him, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Will you ever forget it? I won't. May 8, 1987, that might be insignificant, but I can see it all in my mind. How God brought me to the place to see my wickedness. Because I was a pretty good guy. In my opinion, you would want your children to hang out with me as a child. You would. In fact, you would want your young adults to hang out with me, your kids, as they grew up. That's what I thought of myself. I'm not a murderer. I didn't do it. But you know what? I was going to split hell wide open because my righteousness before the Lord were as filthy rags because I was a sinner. Now I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be something glorious that brings glory to God. Do you know that that is the will of God for every child of God, that you might glorify Him in your body? Did you know that? Let me ask you this. Don't answer this out loud. Is that working out for you? If not, God has the answer today on how He might, I want to try to say that again, that He might glorify Himself in us. Now, listen, Peter thought he would glorify the Lord in his body by not denying the Lord. Did he make it? No, he didn't. He failed miserably. But it wasn't until he wept bitterly that God was able to use him. That is because he was saved, and it is so ingrained in our hearts and minds. You might as well say, because it's the human song. Who was it that sung it now? Escapes me now. He was a famous actor. I did it my way. Anyways, the song. You know who it is, right? Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Certainly did. And so do we. Without God. That's exactly how we will do it. So here this morning, God, I'm not trying to rebuke us because that's not going to do anything but hurt your feelings. That's all. I've got no answers for you. But the Lord does, and that's what we're going to look at here this morning. So maybe God is not glorifying Himself. Is this a possibility? As He would like to in your life. Is that a possibility? God is going to show us this morning what He has already done. Now, I'm going to share some truths with you this morning. It's been a blessing to me, and it helps me to let us know that everything has already been done and given. That's the kind of faith we have in our God, a completed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been done for us. When the Lord said it's finished, He did it. Did He not? How much of it did He do? That's important. He did all of it. So your whole salvation, even the part where God glorifies himself, has already been done. We're like Peter. We think we still need to do something. And it's not until we let go. And we're like Thomas, you know, unless I can put my finger in his side and see the nail prints in his hand. And the Lord gave him that to see that. I want you to know something this morning. God wants to show you and I his great grace and great mercy that we don't deserve. Because when God does something and he wants to do how much of it? Not just half of it. All of it. Because God's not going to share his glory with you. Because if you're looking to what you can do, then you're going to say, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good Christian. Throw that in there if you want. But you have no cause to worship the Lord unless he does it all. Because he's not going to share his praise and his glory. He doesn't want to say, you know what, let's praise you and God for that. Does that sound right? We're going to worship at the throne of God ourselves and the Lord. You think that's what we're going to do in heaven? No, it has to be all of him. May I tell you something? That is such an unnatural thought process for the life of a believer. It is hard for us to figure out that he wants to do it all. So, as we consider the book of Romans here this morning, I want to look at three chapters, not all the chapters, but I want to look at three chapters here, and I don't know how far along we'll get, but we'll go as far as we can. And here's what I want you to be mindful of. God is a God of order. Do you believe that? He doesn't just throw things out there. He puts them, listen, in what? Place. He puts them in place. He sets everything in place. By the way, he has put everything in place before everything was created. Think about that. God has put everything in place before everything was created. Do you think God for one minute is ever taken off guard? He knew before it happened what was going to happen. Amazing. Amazing. That's why the promises could be looked forward to from the Old Testament, because he knew Jesus was going to fulfill it. And yet, it's amazing when you stop and ponder that thought. So here's what I want you to see. Back up with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, just for a moment. And I want you to understand these three chapters, Romans 6, Romans 7, and Romans 8. And this is a little bit confusing. And again, we're just going to cover some highlights here. But here's what I want you to see. Romans 6 is important because Paul is reminding the believers that if you're saved, you've been freed from sin. You've been freed from sin. Then, in chapter 7, you've been loosed from the law. You've been loosed from the law. A lot of times people think they look at Romans chapter 7 and say, oh, Paul's talking about his experience before salvation. No, he isn't. You tell me where that's once mentioned. He's not talking about that. Oh, well, he's talking about the defeat he experienced. Well, that might be because of what he didn't understand. But every child of God, I'll say that again, every child of God goes through this process of understanding that God wants to do it all. The Bible tells us that Moses thought when he went out to square out those two Hebrew people that were arguing, remember, and he killed an Egyptian, and they were arguing the next day, and he says, brothers, you know, and the Bible tells us that Moses thought that they would have understood how that by God he would deliver them. But Moses was doing it in his own strength. He had still 40 years out in the wilderness to learn that lesson. I want you to understand something. That is a difficult lesson to learn. Remember what the Bible says about Moses? He was an eloquent man, wasn't he? Of good speech, was he not? But when the Lord met him in the fiery bush, you remember what Moses said? Oh Lord, I'm not an eloquent man, and I'm of slow speech. God had to bring him to that place to where he did not look to anything in himself, but everything to God. So, Romans chapter 7 reveals to us that we are loosed from sin. Now, this is important because sometimes we possess things that we don't know the value of it. You've seen, I think it's called the road show, is it? Where people bring in their stuff to be appraised, and sometimes they've got stuff that's worth nothing, and sometimes they have stuff they didn't know. I didn't know. May I tell you something? God has got the greatest wealth and riches for the believer that many times we don't know. In fact, we have to learn these things. So God is wanting to reveal something to you and I that's of greater value than anything you can get from this world. And with that comes peace, comes joy, and eternal purpose. Now, the devil has seen fit to blind the eyes of those who don't know the Lord to where they have... Here's what the world thinks life is all about. Get the best car. Get the biggest house. Get. And without even giving this a thought, I'm not bringing any of that with me in the short time I have on this earth. Listen, is it really going to change our lives if we don't watch the news for one day? Is it real? Are we going to miss something? But here's the truth. We're missing the Lord. We are missing God. And God doesn't want us to do that. All right? So are those things important in life? Yes, they are. But they have their order. And the Lord has to be first if we're going to enjoy the salvation and the life that God wants us to have. So let's consider this. And then chapter 8 is to be spiritually minded is life, the life of Christ, and peace. Not just an existence. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, and we live defeated lives, and we don't understand what's going on, and we don't know God's direction. Is that God's will for the life of a believer? To be miserable, and to be unhappy, and to not have anything at all to praise and worship God for? Is that God's will? No, so if it's not His will, and it's not His fault, it only lies in one other place, and that's with us. So why do I say that? I want to encourage you to know this. God wants to give you and I a revelation of Himself every day. Every day. Oh, you mean it's not just at salvation? Show me in the Bible where it says that. God wants you and I to be brought to the place of awe and wonder of His great grace on a daily basis. He wants to give... Listen, when He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, do you think He just wanted us to paste a smile on our face? Because I'm supposed to rejoice? He wants to be the occasion and the reason of that rejoicing. Let me remind you, Paul praised God in the midst of getting ready to lose his head, and he knew it. And he was trying to encourage the churches in the truth, not to be distracted. In fact, he said, listen, I want you to know in the book of Acts, chapter 20, I think verse 21, he said, I want you to be careful about the church that Jesus Christ placed you in, that He purchased with His own blood, because I know at my departure there's ravening wolves that are waiting to destroy the flock. It's what Paul said. And he's getting ready to go get beheaded. And he was headed there with the joy of the Lord. And listen, what did he say? For me to die is what? Right? But listen, it's more needful for me if I'm here. But listen, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is gain. Because the reality of the presence of God was real to him just on an annual basis, right? Let's not get too much of God. On a quarterly basis. Do you think Paul experienced God on a daily basis? You know, he was trying to tell the believers to follow him as he was following the Lord, that they might experience the same grace. So let's back up here. And again, Romans 8 is dealing with the idea of being spiritually minded, and that's capital S, Holy Spirit, is life and peace. And so let's back up and let's notice this in chapter 6, to be free from sin. Now, he was wanting to direct the disciples of understanding what the real truth is. Now, in Romans chapter 1, he says there's coming a day when they're not going to listen. Romans chapter 1, we're not going to go there tonight or this morning, but you can look at it on your own free time, and you will see that we are probably in the day and age where they're not listening, because he said sin and all kinds of debauchery and all kinds of horrible things that God calls us an abomination is going to be looked on as being normal. And those who look at that as being an abomination are going to be looked at it as being evil. I think I'm hearing that today. How about you? But it's still wrong. But see, the devil has so blinded their hearts and minds. I'll say that again. The devil has so blinded their hearts and their minds that they can't see it. And they've got it twisted. And here's the sad truth of the whole matter is they will stand lost and undone before God Almighty one day. But wait a minute. Should the child of God, because that's going on, not be able to rejoice always? Is that the contingency plan in God's word? That, listen, you can rejoice always until this day happens? Or did he say, rejoice always? And again, I say rejoice. If God says something again, I think he wants us to know what he wants us to have. Now, this is not to be fabricated in our own strength. That's not what God wants. God wants to give us the reason for the praise and for the rejoicing. All right, so let's look at verse 1 of chapter 6. And let's look at this because this is important. He was talking about salvation. He was talking about the purpose of the law. And he was saying how it rained until grace had come in chapter 5. And because grace has entered in, he asks this question. You know what grace is? That's unmerited favor. That means we've received the favor of God without doing a single thing for it. So he asks this important question because no doubt it was on the hearts and mind of the people. What shall we say then because of this grace? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, this is important because God wants us to know that when we were saved, we had been set free from sin. Not in our strength, but by his power and his grace. So he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we're freed from sin. Do you believe that this morning? You've been set free from sin. But here's the truth of the matter. You might be looking at your life and say, well, I don't know that I'm free from sin. There's a whole lot of sin going on. Why is that happening? Well, maybe because we don't understand that it is God who has freed us and keeps us free from our sins. That does not mean, listen, so we have, if we have a problem with that, that is our occasion for going to the Lord and saying, listen, Lord, you've delivered me from sin. That's what your word says. I want to hold you to it. God says, I've been waiting for you to do that. Because now you'll understand that I'll do it for you. See, God is waiting for you and I to come to the end of ourselves and stop trying to do it ourselves. Because this is what we do. This is what I did for 30 years, all right? Well, I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to do this. Go to church, pray, read the Bible, and I loved it. But I'm not supposed to do this. Sin, blah, 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 and on down the road. Name them all if you want. That's not supposed to be in my life. Oh, it's in my life. Lord, make me stronger. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to rededicate my life. Blah, 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 blah. How well has that worked? It doesn't work. Does that mean Romans chapter 6 is all wrong? No. We haven't come to the place where we realized we are the ones that are all wrong. Because if we are made stronger and overcome sin in our lives, we have nobody to praise but ourselves. And God will not share his glory with anybody. Not even as much as he loves you and myself. It won't work. So we have not really come to the place to where we understand he's the one that frees us from sin. And we've not come to the place to where we're willing to come to him and say, Lord, I want to point out my sins to you because I'm looking to you to deliver me from them. In order to be, you're his child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That will never change because you and I both know we did how much for that? How much? How much? Are you ashamed? How much did you do? Oh, you mean he gave it to you? Well, that's the same case with the whole salvation. If he finished it all, if he did it all, then you and I had nothing to do, but we were just simply the recipients of it. And that is the same way that he will free you from sin. Is the word of God important? Yes, because that's where faith comes from. But I promise you, you won't get anything of the power of God if you just think your commitment to reading the word of God is going to bring you something. You must focus on the God of your salvation to do his work in your life. Because then when he sets you free from those things and you go, wow, I never thought that would happen. You will know God did it. But as long as we think we've got something to do with it, we're going to miss it. So watch this. Ready? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This is amazing. We were on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes and mind of the Lord. If you've trusted the Lord, that's what it's saying. We were with him. Paul wasn't with him, but we were baptized into his death. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, because we put our faith and trust in the work of God, therefore, because of what God did, not what you and I can do, but what he did, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How is that? The way God raised up Jesus. Did you and I have anything to do with that? Not at all. Not just the same way you got saved. May I tell you something? That is real salvation experienced. Not just eternal life. Please. That's important. That's where it all begins. But salvation experienced on a daily basis. That God saved me. That becomes an empty word. I'm saved. What does that mean? Saved from what? What do you mean saved? In the book of Acts, they called them Christians. Like Christ. Why? Because they were turning the world upside down. Do you think they understood something about the Lord and their relationship with him that we've missed today? Because the world's not getting flipped upside down. At least not in America. It might be over in China because they're getting persecuted and they think of church a little bit differently. Do you know this? When God purchased the church with his own blood, that's what he did. All right? He placed you and I here at Northwood Baptist Church to perform a function that enhances the experience of the whole body. You have a ministry, I don't know what it is, but you have a ministry as part of this body here at Northwood Baptist Church. Is the whole body an eye? No, but the whole body is blessed by a good seeing eye. Is the whole body a foot? No, but the body is blessed. It's moved, and the eye enjoys it, and the arm enjoys it, and the finger and the toe, and the whole body enjoys it. So when the Lord was working in them and they were a functioning, moving body, the whole world was being flipped upside down by the power of God. If we're not careful, we're just looking to ourselves too much. I would encourage you to ask, Lord, what's my part that he wants to fulfill? I don't know what it is, but it's something spiritual that encourages the rest of the body members of God's church. See, oftentimes we think, well, I'm doing God a favor. I'm just going to show up to church. Oh, no, it's so much more than that. You are part of a body. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? It would behoove the believer to figure out what part of that body I am. What is it that God wants me to do? We were talking in Sunday school class, and I was reminded of a fella who had some kind of a mental handicap. And I don't know if it was Down syndrome or what, but he couldn't do a lot of things physically. But what he would do is he would get these pictures and put scripture or some kind of word to encourage believers. So he got a picture one day. And the guy that was telling the story was the recipient of the picture. And he said, I was just in a low place in my life. And he gave me this picture of Niagara Falls. And he had been there himself, so he experienced Niagara Falls in person. I've never been there. But anyway, it said on the bottom, the grace of God, there's always more to follow. And he said, I was looking at that picture, and there were these little droplets. And you know what? They just kept seeming like they would never end. And then I backed up and looked at the waterfall behind the droplets. And that was he needed that word. Personally, he needed that. And the one fellow there who was a little bit mentally challenged, who maybe could not do a lot of things physically, did something for him spiritually that blessed him. listen, in the day and age in which we live, and I know I've said this before, the exchange college students in America fear one thing more than anything else, and that's inconvenience. We're gonna need to shed that if we're going to do anything for God, because doing things for God, I promise you, is a little bit of an inconvenience. How about the cross of Calvary? Do you think that might have been a little inconvenience for the Lord? And yet we think, what I have to do. How about what Jesus did do? See, that puts things into proper perspective. Maybe I shouldn't be as busy as I am doing this, doing that, and doing the other. Now, I'm not trying to do that for you. I'm trying to point you to the Lord so that we don't miss out on what God is wanting to do, because in the light of eternity, we're leaving everything behind. Are we not? Everything. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand that. I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I get thinking things are too important. So he says, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's all the work of God. For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of whose resurrection? Our own? His resurrection. Listen, he's tying that with shall we continue in sin in verse 1. So if we're saved, are we just going to just say, well, that's just the way I am, I can't overcome this? No, it's a misunderstanding that just like Christ was risen again, so likewise you and I are risen again. In his strength, in his power. And so what we need to do with the Lord is take these things that are defeating us or that are hindering our walk with him. And by the way, it's important for us to be in the Word of God. And if that's not taking place, Lord, I need you to do that. Now, I do want to tell you this right up front. I will tell you a good 15 or 30 minutes of genuine enjoying the Word of God is more important than 5 hours of just grueling through it. Yeah. Don't just do it. Ask God to give you joy in it. It's not supposed to be a hardship or a burden. I can't wait to see. See, if you just say, God, I would challenge you to daily approach the Word of God and ask God to guide you to the Word. Maybe it's just one verse. Maybe it's two or three. I've told you this, there's 31, and it's not original with me, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one for each day of the month. Don't even read the whole chapter. Read until God lifts something off the page. Maybe you flip around a little bit, but you're seeking the Lord and you're saying, God, show me what you want in my life. I want to experience you. All right. So he says, we have been, verse 5, planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from what? Freed from sin. He's talking to believers. Why? Because they don't understand it. I'm so glad that God put that in his word. You know why? Because it took me 30 years to understand it. Oh, I've read it a bunch of times. But now I can bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, that's yours. And God says, I'm glad you see that. I'm glad that you know that. And so, Lord, because it's yours, I'm asking you to do it. Done. Done. Hey, Lord, at the very beginning, you said you died for my sins. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. Received. And I went around saying, okay. Is that what you think? Is that how I felt when God saved me? Or do you think I was a little bit excited? Do you think I was rejoicing just a little bit at my salvation? Listen, may I tell you something? God wants to work salvation by his power. That's working by God's power and bringing joy. Again, why did you come today? Just to hear another message or to see something different in your life? I'm pointing you to the Word of God that says, call unto me, I've already done it. You don't have to, I need to pray it through. You ever heard that? I need to pray it through. Where do you find that in the Bible? It's already done. I need to pray for the second blessing. He said, I already gave it to you. I can't remember, one theologian said, it's like you go to a store, a bookstore, and you buy a two-volume set, an expensive two-volume set, and you only take one of the volumes and go home and get home and realize, oh my goodness, it was a two-volume set. So would you go back to the bookstore and pay for the second volume, or say, I see my error, it was a two-volume set, I only picked up one. May I have the other one? And what would the clerk do? Of course, you paid for it, it's already been paid for. God didn't just give you eternal life. He gave you His power through the Holy Spirit for this life. But we will never see it unless God opens up our eyes to it. So what's He trying to do today? Open up our eyes to it. He wants us to see it. Why? Because He wants to put a genuine joy and peace in our hearts. Listen, that the world can't take away or fabricate. I told you about my boss when I used to sell carpet. Went to St. Louis. I don't know what he called them. Happy pills. I really don't know. $400 or $500 he spent for a month's supply of happy pills. Man, they saw him coming. I've been taken too, but man, because here's the thing. Listen, he came in Monday to work. And that was not him. That was not him. In the mornings, you kept busy and stayed clear. He's got this smile on his face that I wish I didn't have cell phone back then. I could have taken a picture of it and say, look at that. I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, can you guys see something? You look like the Joker, something. I don't know. Got a big old smile on your face that's been painted on there. And he told us all about how he spent this money in St. Louis at this conference and how it's made a difference in his life. He didn't make it till Thursday. He didn't make it till Thursday, and he was his old self. I don't even think he made it till Wednesday. Do you know why? Because only God can give you real joy. Everything else is just temporal. It is. Kids, they can't wait to get their first car. And then they get it. And they take care of it for the first month. And then it's trashed. Maybe a little longer. But what happens is those things become old. God never grows old. Not when He's working. So He says, listen, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We died with Him. Notice this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also, what? Live with Him. He on this side of eternity. Verse 9, knowing. And again, that's the key ingredients to a hindered life, is not knowing. So he says this, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves. Take into account is the word reckon. Likewise, the same way, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How? By the cross. But alive unto God. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? God's not asking you to try harder. He's saying, I gave it to you. Now ask Him for it. Point it out. See, the reason for that is because He's not going to share His glory. If you don't ask Him, you will never receive it. And pride will keep us, or misunderstanding will keep us from understanding what the Lord is trying to say. Because He doesn't want you to do anything for it. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? Pretty humbling. You mean you don't want me to try? And He does want success. It's not this idea, we'll just live a failed spiritual life. That's not what He wants. God wants to glorify Himself in your life and mine. That's the truth. That's where the joy comes from. That's where worship comes from. If you miss that, you're going to have a very miserable salvation experience on this side of eternity. The grace of God will make it worth it all, but why miss God? Unless we don't understand who God is and who He wants to be. Man, as a saved child of God, that ought to just enlighten us. Do you think Peter was a little encouraged when the Lord said, tell all the disciples and Peter? Do you think he was a little encouraged? Do you think Thomas was a little encouraged when the Lord appeared before him and said, here, Peter, you see my hands? Here, Peter, put your finger in here. What did Peter do? He worshiped. What did he say? My Lord and my God. Do you know that God wants you and I to worship Him just like that? What has He shown you for you to say, my Lord and my God? What have you asked Him to show you? Because He wants to. If we have nothing to say, my Lord and my God, one of two things. Maybe we're not asking Him because we don't know. Or maybe we don't want to know. I don't know. Maybe we don't care. I hope that's not the case. But God wants to wake us up. He wants to wake up the church from her slumber. That's His will, to be empowered, even in the last days, that we might be the witnesses of my Lord and my God. But what are we seeking? Maybe we're not. Maybe we're just too busy to seek and stop and say, God, am I missing out on so much more that You've given to me in eternal life? That's what's going to make the difference. Now, tonight, we'll try to pick up and understand that we've been loosed from the law. I would encourage you to be here tonight to understand these last two truths, that we might be spiritually minded and enjoy the life and the peace that God wants to listen. Listen, don't miss this, that the Lord has already given us. It's like that two-volume set. The purchase has already been made, provided we just don't know it's there or how to take hold of it. But it's already ours. You already have it if you're saved. It's called the Holy Spirit. You already have it. The question is, will you seek Him? Because if you seek Him, God's promised you'll find Him. And here is the will of God, that you and I are spiritually minded, that we might have the life of Christ and the peace of God that passes understanding, because that will bless our lives, which is what God wants to do first, and the reality of that will spill over and the world will see it. Do you think God wants us to be a bunch of people that take placebos and put a smile on our face? Carry your Bible and put that smile on your face. Right? Tell everybody you're a Christian, and there's no power. That's not the salvation that God purchased. That might be something in our little brain, but that's not the salvation that God has purchased with the blood of His own dear Son, is it? Is that what God gave us? Just try to get through. I don't think so. I think God wants us to see my Lord and my God, and that our hearts, as those two disciples on the road to Emmaus said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened up the Scriptures to us? What kind of salvation do you want from God? You want religion? Take your choice. It's all out there. But not for God's people. We've been given Jesus and all that comes with Him if we'll have it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time that we have to reflect and to remember what You've given to us in eternal life. And Lord, I pray if it's not been understood, Lord, I missed it for so many years. It's all Your work that You want to do in and through me, beginning with salvation, but then that we've been set free from sin. And also from the law, that the Spirit of Christ might work and be a law unto us to empower our lives in Your righteousness. May we experience Your great grace that would bring us to the place that we would worship you and say, my Lord and my God. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.